If God wills it, you can. Maybe all your life you've heard what you cannot do, who you are not. Tonight I'm going to tell you who you are and what you can do. I don't care what sports team you played. I don't care how brilliant you were at school. Only Mr. Falstead would care about that. But if you talk to him, honestly, he would tell you that the report card says something, but it doesn't say everything. Can I come? Oh, amen. Can I simply, Mr. Falstead? primary school, I was a Ducks medal winner, and I was the head boy, and then at Grey College, and then secondary school, I was a disaster. Mr. Falstead can't say amen. I was a disaster because I lost the way. And when I lost the way, I lost my purpose. And I got to a place where I didn't care. I just lived from party to party. And that is until Jesus got a hold of me. When Jesus got a hold of me, everything in my life changed. I mean, everything. The way I saw people, the way I saw life, what I believed about myself, what I believed about God, everything changed. Everything changed. Suddenly I got a dream in my heart, not a little dream, because God doesn't give little dreams to any human being. He gives you a big dream, but then you have to take baby steps. Because when a child is born, that child is meant to grow up, to be an adult, to take responsibility, and to have children, and children, and children, like my children, bless them. So our greatest days are ahead of us. Say it tonight, it's not a cliche. I actually believe this Bible I preach, when I preached on Lazarus will come forth, I actually believe what I preach. I believe dead things can come alive. I believe that it's never over. I believe God can do anything. I believe there's nothing impossible with God. I believe that God is a miracle worker. I believe that God is a healer. I believe that God is a provider. I believe that all God is looking for is for one man to say, Lord, here I am. One young woman to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And I pray tonight that I preach something in your heart, that God stirs you up, that God activates you, that your dream is reignited. Even if you are 60 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, that you look at the mountain, the things that you have not done yet, and you will make up your mind, if God wills it, I can. Say it tonight. If God wills it, I can. Say it, say it, say it. So Paul the Apostle writes in Philippians chapter 4 verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard of need, for I've learned in whatever state I am, maybe in a heck of a state, in the free state, not in the United States, because there's no plural yet. It says whatever state I'm in, free state. Just a word for you that are thinking about going to America. A lot of those people that went to America have come back. The grass is not greener on the other side. So it's your future is not out there. Where's your future? Where? 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 No, not you. Where's your future? Where's your future? And some of you are struggling in South Africa. Where's your future? Your future is where? Where's your future? In God's hands. No, 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 no. God already said, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of to give you a future and a hope. So God's already made up his mind about your future. Where's your future? Where? Why don't you want to say it? Where's your future? Where? In God's hands. Okay? So God already revealed his future to you. Now where's the future now? Where? In whose hands? Where? It's not out there, it's where? It's in ya. It's in ya. Your future. It's not in parliament. It's not in a political party. It's not in your skin color. It's not even in your education, although you should be highly educated. Your future is in your attitude. So contentment is not a destination. Contentment is a disposition. It's a place of who you are. I'm content, whether I have or don't have. Whether I'm on the top of the mountain or at the bottom of the mountain, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I rejoice in God. I don't rejoice in my situation. He says, I've learned in whatever free state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, that's down. I know how to abound, that's up. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I've had plenty, at times I've had little. He says, no matter, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen to me tonight, my young friend, that's all of you under the age of 85. If God wills it for you, you can. If it's God's plan for your life, you have what it takes. You have the gifts, you have the talents, you have the resources, you have the ability. And I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about your design. I'm talking about what our God has wired you. I'm talking to you about what God has placed within you. God's placed himself in you. God's placed a vision in you. God's placed his life in you. You have to believe it. You have to embrace it. You have the gifts. You have the talents. You have the personality. You have the ability. You have God on your side. Too much, many of you are talking about the devil. Listen, the devil is a defeated foe. You have God on your side, and one believer and God make a majority. You have God alive on the inside of you. And my Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That makes you unstoppable in the name of Jesus. And no matter what, you've got to hold on to your spirit of faith, South Africa, if you want to achieve God's will for your life. Because there will be opposition to your mission in life. There will be those who want to deter you. There will be those who want to discourage you. But you have to make up your mind. If this is what God meant for me, not the devil can stop me. No opposition can stop me. No people can stop me. The only one can stop me is when I stop believing that God wills it in my life and I stop going for it. So no matter what, you have to believe in God's will for your life and go for it. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul expounds on this. He says, at times we are hard pressed. It means we are pressed from every side. Yet not crushed. Say it tonight. Say, I cannot be crushed. Say it. Julle moet praat vanavond. Say, I cannot be crushed. Say it. Do you believe it? Thank you. You're loud on that side. Do you believe it? We are perplexed, puzzled, and bewildered as what is happening. You're not going to understand everything. But we are not in despair. At times you may feel a little bit discouraged, but then you better get yourself in the presence of God, and you've got to pick yourself up in the name of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, despair will take a hold of you. We are persecuted. We are not forsaken. Bible says we're not above Jesus. If they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute you. We are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Say it tonight. Say, I cannot be destroyed. Say it. No, say it again. Say, I cannot be destroyed. Say it. Says we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore do we speak. The words that come out of your mouth reveals your beliefs. And those words determine your future. I don't care what you are going through. Don't carry what you are going through on your face. Because you are always in a battle. If you conquer one enemy, there's another one waiting for you. You've got to put on your game face. You've got to be brave and strong. And you have to face your world. And you have to face your giants. And you have to defeat your giants in the name of Jesus Christ. No matter what comes against you. My Bible says your enemy will come against you one way. God will drive him out before you seven different directions in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Some of you bump your toe and you want to give up on life. You got to put a plaster on your toe and just get on with it in the name of Jesus Christ. You lost your job. It's not the end of the world. You are 23 years old. You can find another job. You went through a crisis. You learned. You failed in business. It is not over. You've got to pick yourself up again. You've got to display an indomitable attitude, and you have to go for it in the name of Jesus Christ and not wait for your friends to cheer you on, because they will not cheer you on. You've got to make up your own mind. This is what God's will is for me. I'm going to go for it by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot fail because God is my source. Say amen. Come on, Pretoria. Let me hear you from Bloemfontein. It says, I believe, therefore do we speak. I believe, therefore do I speak. Verse 16, he says, therefore I do not lose heart. Verse 18, he says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're not going to look at the giants in our country. Say amen. There's always been giants. Every generation has faced giants. There were giants back in the 60s. There were giants in the 70s. There were giants in the 80s. There were giants in the 90s. There was a great recession in the late 80s, early 90s, where interest rates were 21%. That was a giant that business people had to contend with. And those who succumbed to that failed. There's always going to be a giant. There's always going to be a Goliath, a voice that tries to intimidate you, that shouts in your mind, you're not educated enough, you're not good looking enough, you don't have what it takes, you're not talented enough, but you better have God's voice louder in your mind. You better get the word of God in your spirit. You better voice your promises and not your problems. You better change your demeanor from morbidity to praise in the name of Jesus. Listen, man, even if you feel like you're in a graveyard, you better get on your grave and you've got to praise God. You've got to lift your voice. You've got to rejoice in the Lord always. Like Habakkuk says, even if there's no herds in the stall, even if there's no blossoms on the tree, even if there are no figs, it doesn't matter. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Oh, come on, CLC. I feel today we need to give the Lord a mighty praise all over South Africa. Change the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice, House of Revival, and give the Lord a mighty praise in Jesus' name. I don't care if it makes sense. It doesn't matter, because praise brings the walls down. Praise defeats the enemy every single time in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, make a joyful shout. And to God, all you lands, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord for now. So we do not look at the things that are seen, because there will always be stuff. But we look at the things which are not seen, the promises of God. For the things which are seen are temporary. What you're facing is temporal. Say amen. I mean, you're not going to be at university forever. You may double clutch once, but that's enough. I mean, I had boys when I went to Standard 6, I had guys in the class with me that double clutched twice. You know what double clutch is? Those years wasn't like today. Today, they passed people at 30%. When you had 50%, dan het hy principal net op jou rapportkaart geskryf, drype. Nie dryf nie. Dop. Nie dop nie. Drape. They didn't call a psychologist and say, oh, maybe we didn't do right by him. They just wrote over your... Anybody who ever had a report card like that, not the time to put up your hand. In red. Drape. And that one word seals your fate for the next year. And you've got home to your dad. Ek het gedop. I I mean, we had guys in our class. Lynn, I was young. So I was like the 30th of the December. So I was the youngest in the class always. And then you have boys wat twee keer gedryp het. Wie se ouers wel laat terughou het. Ons daai kind 3 jaar ouer as jy. Dan jy standaard 6, dan staan hy ou se borsare oral. Nou moet jy teen hom rugby speel. Almal so sluit en gelyk. That's why I had to learn to fight very quickly as a young boy. These big guys, much easier to eat up than down. There's nothing spiritual about that. That's why David, up is easier than down. Or whatever. It says, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, for we walk by what? We walk by faith and not by. We walk by and not by. We walk by and not by. We talk about and not what we. Now, why did you go quiet on that one? Let's try it again. We walk by and not by. We talk about and not what. Say, how come you're talking about everything you see? How come you call what you see? And you don't do what God calls us to do, to call what we do not see. To call things that be not. To speak the answer, not the problem. To talk to your future. To create light with your words. To say what can be done, not what cannot be done. Throughout my life, I heard what I cannot do. I'm not 21 years old. I got saved when I'm 17. Then I heard in the little church I was in who I'm not, what I'm not. Over and over. You're not an evangelist. You're not called. You cannot do it. When we started in Lady Brain 1987, a multicultural church before apartheid was abolished, my pastor told me and everybody else, all the learned people with the great opinions said it will never work. Not knowing that God was just looking for somebody to believe that something can be done exactly when people say it cannot be done. So don't let people say what you cannot do. I heard I'm not an evangelist. I heard a multicultural church will not work. I heard black people are different to white people. Hulle het in Afrikaans vir my oor en oor gesê, daai swart mense is nie soos ons wit mense nie. Now be quiet now. That is until you bleed, we bleed the same. And until you lay on the operating table and you need blood, O positive, you don't ask, did this come from somebody with a peach pink skin? Because if I take that blood, I'm gonna change. And yet, I was told, we were told politically, we are still lied to by people, politicians, that highlight skin pigmentation. Think about how shallow that is. That level of thinking, how empty, vain, and shallow it is. It's not even a millimeter your skin. I don't know if the doctors can help me. But to be defined by that, to make your decisions based on that, shows how shallow you are in your thinking, in your understanding of humanity and life. I knew after I did mission work in Botswana from 1986 to 1988, I knew that people were not different. That everybody was the same. They hear the same gospel, they respond the same. In Angola, when I saw people shot, I saw them bleed the same. Same bullets had the same effect on the same people. Everybody suffered the same. I saw everybody had the same need. So I knew God said, build a church where everybody can come. Build a church where everybody is welcome. Build a church that will be the middle ground for black people, white people, poor people, rich people, educated people, illiterate people. Don't play this religious game that pastors are playing in Pretoria and other places where they keep black people out of their churches. Don't do that. It is going to come to nothing. You better open your doors. People hate me for saying it, but you better open your doors and allow those who are suffering and allow those who are broken, allow them to fill your churches in the name of Jesus. And if Mr. White is too hoi polloi and he doesn't want to sit with a black person in a church, let him go with his money in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Because you're not going to go to heaven and find a place where there are only a few white squatters like you. So you better get along down here. So I know when God talks. He said, build a multiracial church. When I came to Bloemfontein Little Church, it was all white people. I said, first thing that has to change here is this lily white complexion. Because there wasn't a black person in the church. This is 1993. And people looked at me like, you've lost your mind. I said, okay, not only am I going to talk about racism, I'm going to grow my hair. Because people were so religious. And I'm going to get rid of my suit, my three-piece suit. I'm going to offend everybody that I can. Not on purpose, but on purpose. Because people were so stuck in their ways, like black people over there, white people over there, etc. And then when black people came, oh, it's poor people coming. And the fancy white people left. They did not want to sit in the house of God with people of a different color. Figure that one out. We're children of God. We're equal in the sight of God, but actually not. God bless you, television audience. Find a church and go there. Amen. God bless you. And then people said, you can't build a church debt-free. Well, now go ask Pastor Keegan. Go ask Pastor Brian. Go ask Pastor JJ. Go ask Pastor Louis. Go ask Pastor Martin. And many others. You're right. You can't pastor two churches. Now everybody's doing it. You can't use technology. We pioneered it. Telcom learned from us. Fact. Now you don't have to clap. I'm just telling you because 94 God gave me a vision and said you'll build your church through the church through technology. And everybody said to me, it will never happen. People will not watch a screen. So now everybody told me it can't happen is doing exactly the same. They're doing exactly what they said I should not do and will not work. All over South Africa, all over the world. There was one other person in the world who did this technology, and that was Craig Rochelle in America, because you're never the first. But as far as I know, nobody else did it. Because God spoke to me in 1994 when I sat in a service and the pastor put in a VHS cassette, which you don't know, go ChatGPT, go find out what that is, okay? He preached to the Mandarin crowd and the people watched the screen. And I sat right at the back, 1,500 people there, and God spoke to me as clear as this. He said, one day you'll build my church like this. Never understood it. And then we launched the technology. And I sat with 40 of my leaders and they said, I spoke to many pastors. The only pastor who actually said to me it might work was Casey Tree. He said, listen to me. He said, if you believe it, it will work. I don't want to say other people's names. Everybody else said to me, oh, it's not going to do. No, nobody in America is going to watch a screen. Nobody in South Africa is going to watch a screen. Heard it all. But I heard. And I had to make a decision. And with that decision comes tremendous risk. And with that risk comes sacrifice. And with that sacrifice, there are always losses. But the gains are much more. Then people told me when we came to Bloemfontein and this church exploded, said, our city is a difficult place. When I came here, people said this was a difficult place. As far as I know, the Bible says nothing is too difficult for God. Difficult is between your ears. There is no such thing as difficult. Difficult does not exist. Doesn't exist. I say difficult does not exist. I say difficult does not exist. The only difficult is between your ears. Nothing is too difficult for God. Anything is possible if you can believe. That's what God said. Then when Pretoria started growing, people say, well, this is not Bloemfontein Pretoria. Then Bloemfontein, no, this is not Bloemfontein Pretoria Johannesburg. Now this is not Bloemfontein Pretoria Johannesburg, Potchefstroom, Kimberley, and everywhere else where the churches are growing and there's revival. And now suddenly, and initially it was, Europe is a difficult place. Then we have a crusade and hundreds of people get saved. Then I say, but it's the same people. People are the same everywhere. It's your attitude. It's your view of life. If you think there's no business, there's no business. If you think it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard. Yeah, things are tough, but you are tougher. Things are challenging, but you are designed by God to face challenges. There might be problems, but we are problem solvers. Come on. There may be lack of opportunity, but we are opportunity finders. Come on, man, in Jesus' name. There may be a recession, but we go dig another well. And if that's when it's empty, we go dig another well. We go dig another well. What we don't do is go fall on the ground like crybabies and give up and run away from what God has called us to do. We become tougher. We become more determined. We become more resilient in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, you are here today because God has kept you alive. And like David, you should say, I will go fight that uncircumcised Philistine. I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Listen, there are too many flat battery Christians. It's time for your faith to be reactivated in your heart in the name of Jesus Christ, and get yourself back on your feet, get yourself back running, get believing God for great things. No matter how many times you fail, you don't quit and you don't give up. You keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus Christ. So I've learned, and I'm not that old, but I've learned that the thing that stops people more than anything else is what's going on in their minds and their hearts. Bitterness, unforgiveness, you're done. And every time you open your mouth, you will defile and pollute people. You're like a vomit comet. A lot of those on social media. A lot of those who send WhatsApps. They vomit. Have conversations and it's vomit. And the people that spend time in their presence stink just like them. Pass their offenses on. Pass their grudges on. And they pollute themselves even further. So that's why Jesus said, when you stand, you better forgive, otherwise your Father will not forgive you. You don't justify. If your brother sins against you, go make right with him. Stop your games. Go make right. But the Bible says the root of bitterness causes trouble. And many people get defiled by that. Because the person with the root of bitterness justifies his bitterness and vomits on every person. You don't want to smell like vomit. You don't want to sit in engagement with the people that vomit. You don't want to be on social media where people vomit. Because that vomit will begin to rub off on you. Are you listening? You don't go to a restaurant and order vomit. I know it's very crude, and you can be unhappy, and social media can have a heyday with this blackguard, I'll say. So, but some of you are in conversations where people vomit and you're eating it. And it's worse than eating your baby's vomit. It's destroying you spiritually, mentally. Are you listening? So, the only difficult is because of your attitude, and your attitude is affected by what's going on in your heart and your mind. And if your heart is corrupt, your mind will also be corrupt. They work together. So when the disciples could not cast out the demon, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 verse 20, he said, they could not cast out that demon because of their unbelief. And he said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. How much faith do you need? Pastoor, ek het nie die geloof nie. Jy het. Maar jy gebruik nie jou geloof nie. If you have a little bit of faith, not a lot of faith, little bit of faith, you will say to that problem, you will speak to that situation, and it will be done. Mark 9:23, the Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So please listen to me. I'm not going to go long tonight, only about another 2 hours. He says, never tell anyone it can't be done. God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody ignorant enough to do that very thing that everyone deemed impossible. Because in the mind of God, impossible does not exist. And in your mind, impossible should not exist. If God wills it for you, you can do it. If God wills it for you, you can do it. If God wills it for you, you can do it. If God wills for you to be a farmer, you can do it. If God wills for you to be a doctor, you can achieve it. If God wills it for you to be a successful businessman, you can achieve it. Come on. Nobody climbs a mountain and there are no valleys. As long as you go through the valley and you climb again, through the next valley and you climb again. You are not defined by the valleys. You are defined by the God who called you, and you need to stay true to the journey, and you need to keep on keeping on with your eyes on the summit, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the developer, the perfecter of your faith. Shout amen in Jesus' name. We are not a happy campus. We are climbers. Pastor Louis, you've opened a fantastic building. You can open another fantastic building. And then you're going to open another fantastic building, and you're going to do more for God. We are not going to sit and gloat in our accomplishments. No. Every time we have accomplished something, there's more to be done in the name of Jesus, because we are called to move forward. We are called to advance God's kingdom. We are called to plunder hell and populate heaven. We stand back for no one, because God is our source. Oh, come on! Say amen in Jesus' name. So this is for the young people. The young do not know enough to be prudent. I thank God that I was too ignorant to listen to all the advice. Therefore, they attempt the impossible and achieve it. Generation after generation. Sitting in this crowd tonight of thousands and thousands of people, there in Pretoria, there in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, wherever you are, Potchefstroom, sitting in this crowd tonight, there are people that God's called to be great achievers. I'm talking to young people now. I'm talking to Generation Z now. Something has to trigger in your heart. Something has to activate in you. Something has to stand up in you to say, I'm not going to be normal. I'm not going to be average. I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to roll over. I'm not going to blend. I'm not going to walk with a crowd. I will be a trend setter in my generation. Some young evangelist, some young pastor, somebody that will not be conformed to mediocrity and to what people say cannot be done. I've tried that as well. I don't care whether you tried it, you gave up, but you better try it again and try it again and try it again and try it again until you succeed in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Come on. When God calls you, there will always be naysayers. Because people don't want you to do what they never did. Because you show them up. So you make them feel insecure. So Saul was not willing to go fight Goliath. So when David said, your servant will go, he says, you're not able. Why? He didn't want David to defeat Goliath. You see, you're just a youth. And he's a man of war from his youth. Then David said, I will go. I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. Then what did Saul try and do? Put his armor on him. Say, okay, you can do it, but you're going to do it through me. David said, no, I've not tested these. What I have is a ketting. Kom aan, julle wat ketting geskiet het, klei laat gegooi het. Maar julle jong mense, ek moet ander preke kry, want julle weet nie eens wat 'n klei laat is nie, weet julle? Regtig. Jy's ook nie meer so jonk nie. 20 jarig is, 20 jaar oud. Kleilat, weet jy wat 'n kleilat?
Ja, ek weet wat is 'n komputer.
Ja, ons weet dit.
Ek weet wat is TikTok.
Ja, ons weet dit. Het jy nooit daar by die rivierbank met klei gespeel nie? Klei osse gebou nie. Nee, TikTok, 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 TikTok.
Roger Bannister, people say breaking the 4-minute mile was impossible. On the 6th of May 1954, Bannister broke it for the first time. And then since then, it has happened thousands of times. Apollo 11, that means it's the 11th attempt of people going like, psh, woof. I mean, if you think about flight, now, we climb on airplanes now. Now it's a very expensive thing to climb on an airplane, thanks to Donald Trump. And now you're going to pay more for petrol, thanks to Donald Trump. Jesus, help us all. Think about a flight. We climb on airplanes now, we don't even think. But you know, people died. Leonardo da Vinci drew things. People jumped off walls with wings, trying to be birds. And they go, splat. Many people died. So the Wright brothers came along. Everything you take for granted now. The telephone, Alexander Bell, 1887, 1875. He developed the first telephone. Kring, kring. Now you can be anywhere in the world. We used to watch these things, and it was only the spy that had a watch you can talk to. Now you all have these Apple watches and you're talking on your phones like... First cell phones that came out were literally like bricks. It was like a big thing. And I felt like James Bond. Motorola. I was one of the first ones to get it. And there were only two places in Bloemfontein where you could get a signal. The one was at Fontaine Hotel. Is it still in Bloemfontein, Fontaine Hotel? I don't know. But, I was a pastor then. And I stand outside there, oh, nobody would see me. No, but I wanted to look grand. You understand? 2 hours a day you could talk on your cell phone. It was a brick. Now, you can sit here and talk to somebody anywhere in the world. Computers were as big as the stage. Fax machines. Telex machines. Anybody knows what a telex machine is? No, you don't. Oh, you do. You see? I still sold those things. Telex machines and fax machines and typewriters and all that nonsense. And copiers. I mean, a copier was so big in those days that yet it was like half the stage. Now you send a fax, an email, anything just on your phone. And you don't even realize how the world has evolved. And you've been left behind. Because you have no dream, no forward momentum, no desire to be a difference maker and a contributor. You're just enjoying what's happening while everybody else is seeing the opportunities and pursuing it. You have God in you. You have the creator of the heavens and the earth in you. As you see God, God will show you things and give you ideas that you have to pursue. It's not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be a God thing. Because if it was easy, you would get so inflated in your ego that you would be impossible. That idea is going to cost you your life, your dedication, your determination, refusing to give up when you fail, but knowing that you are special because you are. I can say it to you every week, but you have to believe it for yourself. Believing you are different, believing God designed you, God called you, that there's no comparison, that there's no competition. Why people compete, I don't know. Why they compare, I don't know. We're not created to compete. We're not created to compare. We're created to be. This is me. This is my grace. This is my calling. This is my gift, my talent. I'm not talking about me now, Atbosov. I'm talking about being assured and self-assured. And not if somebody else looks great, you feel insecure. I mean, when people do things great, I think, my word, how do they do that? When I listen to other people speak, I think I'm never going to talk in my life again, etc., etc. You have to be secure in your own skin. Meaning in your own skin, you have to be secure in who God created you to be. And you need to be you. You be you. Be you. Be you. Be complete in Him. Be you. Be you. Be you. Be happy. Be a happy you. Be a content you. That's what Paul says. Whatever state I am there with, I've learned to be content. Why do you become discontent when God's blessing somebody else? Why do you become unsatisfied or dissatisfied when God's using somebody else? Why do you become jealous when God puts His hand on somebody else? Why do you lose yourself when God is calling somebody else to do something? I'll tell you why. Because you've never found yourself. You've never discovered yourself. You've never become comfortable with who God created you to be. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. There cannot be anything outside of your design and the grace of God. So better that you love yourself, better that you accept yourself, better that you stop demeaning yourself, better that you stop talking down on yourself, better that you get a good, healthy self, Christ image in your life, and you run for it. And if somebody else seems better, you cheer that person on, because they're not better. They're just doing what God has called them to do in Jesus' name. I don't get this in the church, how people compare with one another. It would be competing in athletics, and you watch the 100-meter sprinter, but you the javelin thrower, or you the shot putter, as I was saying, as the word is, and now you're jealous of the 100-meter sprinter. No, man, just take the ball and throw it. Because let's take that 100-meter sprinter and give him that thing. He's going to break his elbow. Why can't we just be and celebrate those who are different and not be incited by the devil to be jealous and to compete? Because the minute you compete with your brother, you take your eyes off your goal and you take your eyes off your grace and you take your eyes off who God called you to be. You be you. You be you. Ed Young preached that message great. You be you. Me be me. You can never be me. Me can never be you. Settle it. Settle it. And along those lines is about church, where God places you. He places you in a church where God knows you will be fed. You don't just leave a church easy. You better bring God into the equation. And if a church chooses to leave CRC, you better be sure God spoke to you. Time, place, date, everything. God told us. And you'll stand before God for that one day. You're not going to manipulate this move. This is a move of God. We'll defend it and we will expand it for the glory of God. Nobody will tamper with it. Nobody will tamper with it. Nobody will put their hand to this move. It's not my move, it's God's move. And we'll stand and see this move flourish throughout South Africa. Say amen. Give the Lord. Come on, man. Give the Lord. Those of you that are loyal members of CRC, give the Lord a praise that we are moving on from glory to glory in Jesus' name. That's it. It's not a negotiation. You're not in today and out tomorrow. God doesn't plant you today and lift you tomorrow. It's a lie. It's a deception from the pits of hell. Okay, back to Apollo 11. People used to say putting a man on the moon is impossible. Man on the moon. Anybody know that song? No, you see? Go Google it. What do you listen to now? Give me a song that you listen to now. I'm catching you. Be careful now. You should just be singing church music now. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm setting you up and you're falling like a hook for a hook, line, and sinker. What Christian music are you listening to? Oh, now there's no sound. Now there's nothing. You should say CRC. The belonging is good music. Planet Shakers, good music. Bethel, good music. A lot of good music. A lot of good music. Amen. So SCRC has got good music as well. Okay, on July the 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz. Imagine naming your boy Buzz. Next time you have a boy, Buzz. I would think Bud. Okay, Buzz. You buzz him when you call him. Aldrin became the first people to land on the moon. When President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, asked aerospace engineer Wernher von Braun what it would take to build a rocket capable of putting a man on the moon, von Braun replied with five words, the will to do it. The will to do it. Yesterday's impossibilities are today's possibilities. Let's brag about a South African, Dr. Chris Barnard. Ever heard of him? Anybody ever heard of Dr. Chris Barnard? Okay, the medical students. The rest of you think he landed with Jan van Riebeeck. No, he was not one of the people that landed with Jan van Riebeeck. Okay, so Chris Barnard. The first heart transplant just a few decades ago, the idea of organ transplantation, listen, was deemed impossible. On December the 3rd, 1987, Chris Barnard performed the world's first human heart transplant in Groote Schuur in Cape Town. Today, over 8,000 heart transplants are done annually, saving thousands of lives because one person did what everybody say could not be done. Now lives are being saved. Come on. I'm almost finished. Edmund Hillary. Mount Everest was believed to be too high, too cold, and too dangerous for any human to reach the summit. Many climbers died trying. Experts said the human body could not survive the altitude. On 29th of May 1953, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay reached the summit of Mount Everest, becoming the first humans to stand on the highest point on earth. Henry Ford. Anybody ever heard of Henry Ford? Who drives a Ford? So tonight in your prayers, go say, Father, thank you for Henry. Think about this. People, our world, I'm reading these things because our world has evolved in the last 150 years, not even our last 100 years, at a pace that is actually mind-boggling, sobering. So we cannot think like yesterday, and we can't think like low, and we can't not be sharp and smart and wide awake, achy, wakey. That's why we have to get information, and we have to understand, and we have to know what's happening in the world, and educate our brains and bring illumination to our minds and expand our vision, our horizon. Read books. You've got to read books. Read books. Stop the TikTok nonsense. I'm not legalistic. Stop that TikTok nonsense. Educate your mind. Get good books that educate you. Learn about history. Learn about technology. Learn about the future. Learn. When you watch YouTube, watch intelligent podcasts that will challenge your thinking and give you a perspective of the true landscape, etc. So that when you engage with people, you can engage intelligently. That's apart from reading your Bible, by the way, which I know you all do for an hour a day, right? So Ford's vision, Ford's dream was to build freedom on wheels. A reliable, simple car that any working man could afford. Early on, Ford was often mocked for chasing the impossible dream. Who sang that song? Dream, the impossible dream, dream, dream. You won't know, because that was even before my time. But it was Frank Sinatra, I think. You're sitting here tonight as young people, you think, oh, our pastor's ancient. No, I'm actually not. I'm trying to teach you things that you don't know. impossible dream of a horseless carriage. And he was pushed out by investors in his early failed attempts. By 1914, a new Model T was rolling off the line every 24 seconds because he never gave up. And by 1927, over 15 million had been built, making the automobile accessible to many Americans. Friend, you will never rise above what you believe you can achieve. If God wills it, you can. Now, dreams die in wrong conversations. Our beliefs wane when we listen to the wrong voices. That's why your walk with God is so important. That you hear Him, not all the other voices. Because sometimes people will talk to you and they want to steer you in a direction that's going to destroy you. But once God spoke to you, once it's God, people can oppose you, people can say it's not going to work. It will work. Because God spoke to you. Because you heard. Like the Apostle Paul says, once I've heard, I no longer confer with flesh and blood. Doesn't mean you don't talk to people. When he got his revelation, the Pauline epistle, the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, etc. He went to the elders in Jerusalem and he submitted. He wasn't a loose cannon. He submitted his doctrine to the apostles in Jerusalem, who then accepted the doctrine, the teaching to the Gentiles, that you are now justified by faith and not by the law. And they gave him the right hand of fellowship to the Gentiles, because he's a very learned Jew. He's very educated. As a matter of fact, in the natural, God should have called him to the Jew, because he studied under Gamaliel. He's a very intelligent man, knew the law. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a thoroughbred. Yeah, God comes and he takes the man that is the most qualified to speak to the Jews, and he puts him to the Gentiles. And he takes Peter, who is a rough Gentile, that walking with Jesus after 3 years, he still takes out his sword and he tries to chop somebody's head off. And God says, you go to the Jew. Sounds just like God. He can do whatever he wants to through whomever he chooses. You can try and polish. You can try and make it look a certain way. But if God's not in it, it's not going to work. That's why Paul stayed the course. Because he had an encounter with Jesus on the day on the road to Damascus. And God said, I will show him how great things he will suffer. You want a vision like that? Not how great you are going to be. God's not into stimulating your ego. God's into you living dependent on him. And he says he's a chosen vessel. He must take the gospel to the Gentiles and he must stand before kings for my name's sake. This is Paul that's reputable. Paul that is recognized. Paul who is a leader. Paul who persecutes the church. And then Peter is called to the sophisticated Jew. And he gets his doctrine a little bit messed up, where he tries to bring circumcision back to the Gentile. And Paul has to stand against him publicly. Because Peter forgets that you're not justified by circumcision. You are now not an heir of Christ by virtue of birth. You're an heir of Christ by virtue of the new birth. And because the doctrine was publicly deceiving many people, Paul had to stand up publicly and correct the doctrine of Peter. And say, you cannot lay this burden upon the Gentiles. Because justification is not by the law, justification is by faith. And Peter comes in line. And he preaches the word of God the way God calls him to preach. I don't care who you are, where you are, how qualified or unqualified. God qualifies the called, right? It doesn't mean you should not be at university. It doesn't mean you should not go get a degree. But you should make up your mind. I'm here by God's divine design. I'm not just one of many. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm designed for this time. I'm not going to disappear in the crowd. I'm going to be everything and more that God called me to be. No matter the delay, no matter the wait, no matter the detour, no matter the disappointments, it has no bearing on God's will for your life. You young man, sitting here tonight, listening to me the first time. Something is happening in your heart. You've never heard this kind of message in your life. Something is happening in you tonight. You have to make a decision like many, 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 many hundreds of thousands have before you in this very building. Made a decision. I'm going to pursue God, and I'm going to pursue God's plan for my life. And then one day when you are the doctor, the businessman, the lawyer, the advocate, the engineer, you will come back and you will say, that day my life changed because I made a decision to follow Jesus. No wide road. Even when things happen, you need to make decisions for your own destination. Even if everybody goes that way and God tells you that way, you better listen. You better stay true. Because what seems right today may not be right tomorrow. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to man. Right to man. But the end of that road is destruction. What's right today can turn out to be a disaster tomorrow. Careful in your decisions. Prayerful in your decisions. Prayerful in your spiritual walk with God. It's not a game. You disconnect from the wrong source. There's no other source for you. You have one source. It's God, but He positions you. Don't break that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Be smart. Stay the course. Stay planted. Stay faithful. Pursue what God's called you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. I really, you know, when I come here, I feel so many things in my spirit. Some of you have withdrawn from God. Some of you have stepped back from God. Sitting there in Johannesburg tonight, all the UJ Wits studenten, students. Pretoria, Cape Town, all those students. Potch, Kimberley, Port Elizabeth, where all the young people are. You are shaping South Africa. You are the face of South Africa. Without God, there's no great future for this country. You're sitting here tonight in one of our churches and you say, I'm not right with God. If you die tonight, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Maybe you feel like you're just floating through life. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And tonight you have to come back. You have to give your life to Christ. Maybe you got lost. It doesn't matter. Jesus is here tonight to love you back to Himself. So forget your friends. Forget the person next to you. Forget the person around you. And listen to your heart tonight. This is not a game. Your life is not a game. You are not an accident. You are called by God for this hour. But the only way you will get in tune with that is by surrendering your life to Christ. It's by giving yourself to Jesus and putting your life in His hands. And some of you used to serve God passionately, but you've grown cold. You have to come back to God tonight. You have to make up your mind like that prodigal son. I will go back to my father's house and let God do what He wants to do in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, people praying in all our churches. Tonight you're in Bloemfontein, they're in Pretoria, they're in Johannesburg. This is a turning point in your life, but you have to choose it. God says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. You choose it tonight. You say, Lord, I need You. I want to get right with You. If that's your desire tonight, quietly wherever you are, just raise your hand. I want to say a prayer for you quickly all over this place. Raise it up all over this place. Slip it up. God bless you. Bless you. Many hands. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Raise it up. Slip it up. Forget your macy. Forget your boyfriend. Forget the man along you. All those hands. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yes. A young generation is coming to Christ. You're coming to Christ. You're not going to be a lost generation. You need truth and you respond to truth. You need purpose and you'll respond to purpose. No messing around with this watered down Christianity. One more time before I pray, you've not raised your hand. There's a stirring in your heart tonight. You know God's talking to you. Slip your hand up now in Jesus' name. Come on now. Donkey, donkey, donkey. God bless you, bless you. God bless you. All those hands, many of you. Beautiful. This place is an amazing. It's a house of revival. It's an oasis where people get saved. Hundreds of thousands, over the years. Please look at me, all of you. Many of you raised your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Can I please ask you all to stand with me in all our churches? Come on, stand. Come on, you young people. You're energetic. You're full of life. Stand. God's talking to more of you, and you've not raised your hand. People over there, I can feel the pulling of the Holy Ghost. I can't see you because you're in the dark. Feel the power of the Holy Ghost talking to you. Three young men standing in that side. You need to come to Christ. You all three need to come to Christ tonight. In all our churches tonight, if you want to get right with God, maybe you brought a friend. Your love will bring your friend to Jesus tonight. In all our churches, be the soul winner. This is our number one priority, is to take people to heaven. Not to keep people from heaven, but to take people to heaven. Two reasons people don't want to serve God. They know a Christian and they don't know a Christian. Be the Christian that brings people to God. You know, somebody said to me in the gym the other day, he said, Archie, you want me to come to your church? And I see what people are doing. He said, I don't want to be a Christian. Christians doing certain things to other Christians. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be that. I don't want that. Don't be that Christian, because you're not a Christian. So all over this place, if you've raised your hand in all our churches, there's a move in your heart tonight. God's moving. And tonight you say, I want to get right with God. I need Jesus. Don't think about it. Leave your seat quickly. Leave your seat and come to the altar right now. We're going to pray together. Come on, leave your seat. Don't think about it. There's many of you. Just move. Come this way. Come. Those three young men, come. I call you in Jesus' name. Come. Come on, CLC, clap your hands. Come on there in Potsdamstroom. Come on, young mana. It is your tight, it is your womlock. Come on in Pretoria vanaan. Die Heere werk met jou, die Heere God praat met jou vanaan. Come on. Come tonight, Johannesburg, there in Cape Town. Come on. Jesus loves you. Come on, put your arm around your friend. Walk them to the altar tonight. Come on. Come on, clap. Many more people are coming. Many more people are coming. Come tonight. Come. Your life will never be the same again. Come. Come on, let's raise the level of our praise tonight. Come on. Come on. You still want to come to the altar tonight and leave your seat and come. Come on. In the name of Jesus, you come. Come. Come on, we end on a high. Come on, make a joyful praise unto God. Come on. Come on, CRC, things are shifting in the atmosphere. Make a joyful shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this place, I'm going to come back here much more, and we're going to fill this building like, to hell with the devil. And I will go where people are hungry for God. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, just praise the Lord a little bit. The prodigals are going to come home. The lost will be saved. The backsliders will come home. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I preach a lot, and I can feel hunger in a place, and I feel it in this place. It's all like well over 4,000 people here tonight, and you can just feel when people are hungry for God. You can feel when people have this blasé attitude. I'm not going to be with those people. When people are hungry, that's where I'll be. That's it. That's it. I'm going to revive this house very quickly. Listen to me. I'm going to revive this house by the power of the Holy Ghost quickly. 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 One thing I know is God and God's Spirit and people. 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 Where there's an expectation, God can move. Where there's an expectation. And there are places hungry for God. I mean it respectfully. I said to Pretoria this morning, you don't own me. You don't own me. There was a time you saw me every Sunday and I gave myself to Pretoria. They don't own me. Nobody does. God's call does. And God spoke to me very clearly. I have to preach the gospel in different cities, and I'll go where there's a hunger. You know, Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, I'm trying to say something to you. In certain places, people didn't want him, so he said, okay, I'm not coming to you. It's no loss for me. Because what I'm doing, I'm not doing for myself. I didn't climb on a plane to get you tonight for myself. I don't go preach my guts out every Sunday for myself. And when people don't respect that and honor that, they will lose that. It's simple. It's not rocket science. There's other places I want to go as well. That is ready for a move. That's my grace. So pray for me. I said pray for me. Keep on praying for me. It's going to blow this place up. In the Holy Ghost, okay. Righteously speaking, amen. Put your hand on your heart, all you beautiful people. Some of the greatest leaders in all our churches throughout South Africa come from Bloemfontein. Actually, in all our churches, in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, in Port Elizabeth, everywhere, people come from Bloemfontein. This city has fed every other church in CRC. This church. And all those pastors out there that have benefited, you need to show respect to this house. You need to show respect to this house. These people have sacrificed, this church, have sacrificed to their own detriment so you can have the gospel. Respect it, appreciate it. They've sacrificed. These people. So you stand there on your high horse in another city. Respect where you come from. Respect. That this river has touched you, and through you, the people that sit under your leadership. CRC members. Not your members. CRC, part of a move. Pray with me tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Tonight I surrender all to you. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to live for you. Show me my worth and my value. And break every hold of the devil over my life. Tonight, through your grace, I turn my back on the world and I turn to you and I call you Jesus Christ. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me, for cleansing me, and for washing me. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.